world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I was thinking about doing something that's coming down the steps here today. I was thinking about picking up the phone. I got my cell phone right here. I can do it on my cell phone. Thought about picking up my cell phone and calling my congressman. Actually, I was going to call my congressman. I was going to call my city council members. I was going to call the county commissioners. I was going to call my elected. I was going to start with my congressman. I was going to call him and say, sir, listen, I'm calling to get some advice here. I said, I've been battling gout, and boy, my joints are so sore, and I don't know. I had some guy tell me that it'd be better if I maybe drank some lemon juice, if that would help me get rid of the gout. And I'm wondering, do you have any advice for what I should do for my gout? And of course the congressman's going to say, we don't offer medical advice here. Say, yeah, so shut up about the daggone vaccines, will you? Shut up about the masks. Who do these folks think they are? What? How? Oh, I'm probably going to wake Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee's upstairs there. Drove in all the way last night from wherever. But what a time to be alive. What a time. Was it Chad yesterday? Chad sent me a text message. Said, hey, coach. Stop saying we're going to win. It's time to say we're winning. We're in the process of winning. It's happening all around us every day. We are winning. We're winning. You gotta get that mindset. Hey, do me a favor real quick, Spencer. Google If by Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling, If. A good way to start off this morning. A lot going on. A lot to talk about. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff going on. I watched a little bit of Mike Lindell yesterday. He has some great, great information, but it comes back to the exact same problem. Who do you turn to? Who's going to do something about it? If we prove all the fraud in all the world, who do you turn to? Rudyard Kipling said in the famous poem, If, it's up there on your screen, if you keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust when all men doubt you but make allowances for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good or talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, and if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, in other words, if you can do just more than thought, think, if you meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken, and stoop, and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it all on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you force your heart, your nerve, and your sinew to serve your turn long after your heart and nerve and sinew are gone. And so hold on when there's nothing in you except the will, which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor friends, loving friends can hurt you. If all men count with you, but nobody counts too much. If you can fill that unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of endurance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, which is more. You be a man, my son. Folks, this is when the cream is going to start rising to the top. We're in the midst of it right now. There's a calling of the herd. There's so much demonic stuff going on around us as the kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Don't ever forget this, folks. Don't ever, ever listen. Don't ever forget this. The battle is the seed. By the way, the seed reproduces after its own kind. The battle is between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. What's going on with the vaccines and the COVID and the social distancing and the masking and all that stuff is simply an offensive assault by the seed of the serpent. And he's not going to win. The Bible tells us that we are going to crush, we're going to bruise our heel, and we're going to crush his skull. But we have to get beyond the everyday's up and downs of, did you see what they're doing to us today? Did you see what they're doing to us today? We have to get beyond that. We have to reach the point where we see what they're doing. And what was it they said in the old cowboy movies? Head them off at the pass. I don't want to yell too loud because I think Bobby's still asleep. Head them off at the pass. We're starting to head them off at the pass, folks. We're finally getting awake. We're finally getting organized. We're finally in position to make a difference. This will be your finest hour. It's going to be the church's finest hour. The reality of this is, I'm going to show you a video here from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in a minute. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. I say that every day, don't I? The reality of it, have you guys considered this? How many are in here right now? 90, there's only 98 in here. People must be sleeping in today. Have you really considered the reality of Dr. Fauci wrong, Sherry Tenpenny right? I'm going to just stop there a second. Have you considered that? The reality that Dr. Fauci is bought and paid for. Bill Gates and the Luciferian left. They are all bought and paid for. Well, the church has been spending the last 60 years spending money and investing into their own kingdoms. In other words, leaving inheritances for their children, all that kind of stuff. The godless left has been they've been investing in causes. The devil made the decision that he was going to come after the seed of the woman. And what's the seed of the woman? Our children. Our children, our progeny. That's what makes Christianity advance. That's what makes any culture advance. Just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And what was going on in the days of Noah? Well, they were after the seed. We can get into the debate about the Nephilim and whether Nephilim were really real and whether or not the angels, fallen angels had sex with women and created giants. Hey, listen, you don't have to believe any of that. But something, I don't know why you wouldn't, but something was going on at the days of Noah that was so profound that Jesus Christ himself said that as it was back when Noah was here. It's going to be like that again, boys and girls. So whatever is happening during the days of Noah, we know this. They were messing with the seed. They were trying. See, the devil wanted to kill the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That was the whole thing. Seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman. And we know that God had sent the perfect seed. And why had he sent the perfect seed? He had sent the perfect seed because the price the ransom for humanity, the world, was a perfect, unblemished, sacrificial lamb. Perfect bloodline. Jesus Christ, the DNA of Almighty God. In fact, this may not be scripturally accurate, but when Jesus Christ became, when God became man, in that mystery that we don't even understand, it was, in fact, God himself hanging on that cross. Now, I could get into the debate as to whether God actually died or not. That isn't even the debate. The debate is this. The perfect seed made it through. That's what the flood was about. The seed had been poisoned. And God looked around and said, if I don't do something, the devil's going to win. I'm not going to get my perfect seed through. So he flooded the earth. Started again with just those who had that pure bloodline of Jesus. And Jesus Christ made it. Oh, Lord, I'm getting a revelation here. And Jesus Christ made it through all through that Old New Testament when he's trying to get here. And finally he gets here in New Testament and he makes it through. And he lives his life of 30 years. And he teaches and does all those things. But the ultimate thing was what? When he hung on that cross, what did he say? It is finished. What is finished? What is finished? The perfect seed made it through. He made it through. The perfect sacrificial lamb made it through. And what did Jesus say? We did it. We did it. That, listen to me. That fight's over. It's finished. We won. And then he said what? Hey, boys and girls, now you go into all the world and you teach them to observe all I've commanded you. I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Why? Because it was finished. And what we see going on today, as we were warned about in the scripture, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again at the coming of the Son of Man. What? They're going to be messing with the DNA again. That seed again. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to call it a revelation. A thought. If literally, hey folks, how many people would have to drop dead in your local town for people to wake up? How many would have to drop dead? 10? 15? 30? 50? How many would it be? How many would have to drop dead in Chicago? Literally, how many people would have to die in Chicago before people realize something was wrong? How many? And I want you to ask you this. Ask yourself this. From what I understand, who are the ones going to be dropping dead? Well, I think it'll be those who took the vaccine. Think, if Dr. Tenpenny's right, and some of the other doctors are right, who's going to be dropping over? Those who have taken the vaccine. Now, who have taken the vaccine? God's people? Or the devil's people? Oh, this is deep. This is deep. And so as we look around ourselves, we see what's going on, the calamity and everything that's coming, that they're telling us it's coming. If Sherry Tenpenny's right, if the doctors are right, and a lot of people are going to drop over dead, it's not going to be believers. Oh, it might be believers who took the shot. But it's not going to be believers in this queue that we're in. There's a calling of the herd that's taking place. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And God is not going to let this seed, his righteous seed, be polluted by this, friends. I don't even know if that's scriptural, but I think it's pretty close. And I think that we have got to understand that what the devil meant for bad, the Bible says, God meant for good. that there's a way that seemeth right to a man taking a jab, but the end result is death and destruction, right? And Christians, we're supposed to confound the world. We're supposed to be those who stand up and say, no, no, I'm not going to do that. No, we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to resist evil. We're supposed to stand against evil. We're supposed to expose the unfruitful works. Ooh, unfruitful works of darkness? Could the jab be an unfruitful work of darkness? What are we supposed to do when we see that unfruitful work of darkness? Rather, expose it. To stand up and speak up. Shine, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. That you speak the truth no matter where it is. That it's the truth that makes you free. And it's our job at this time and this place to exercise our, as Jamie Walden would say, our military commission to speak the truth. That, folks, that's your assignment. Didn't say it was going to be popular. Didn't say everybody was going to love you. Didn't say the cops weren't going to come to your door. Didn't say they weren't going to lock you in jail. Didn't say they weren't going to shoot you. Didn't say they weren't going to put you in FEMA. Didn't say any of that. Your job, what did Martin Luther say? Huh? Here I stand. I can do no more. Why do we think that we are exempt at this final push of the dark side? Why do we think we're exempt from it? This will be our finest hour. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I just watch what's going on and how little, look at me, how little faith we have in the Holy Spirit. We have very little faith, very little confidence. We think he's a man. So if God's not a man, he should lie. Holy Spirit can't lie. God told us that he was always going to be with us. He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. What does it mean to be forsaken? Do you feel forsaken? What does that mean? Are we forsaken in this God-forsaken land with these God-forsaken vaccines and these God-forsaken government officials and these God? We're not forsaken. We're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. We're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. All this stuff is going on around us. There's nothing new under the sun. It's happened before. Christ will prevail. We will make it through this. Christ will be victorious on the other side of it. Get a longer vision of your life. Where's George Washington today? Dead. Where's Thomas Jefferson? Dead. Where's Abraham Lincoln? Dead. Where's Martin Luther King? Dead. Dead. They came, they ran their race, they made their impact, and they're dead. Why do we think we're any different? And what would it be like to live in a time and a place like this where we have an impact, where we have an opportunity for our lives to impact generations yet to come, to be born into the kingdom for such a time as this? What are we afraid of? It is our assignment. Christian, it's our assignment. We love not the world, nor the things of the world. We hear people say all the time, this place is not my home. Of course it isn't your home. You're going to go home. But hey, let's raise a fuss while we're here. Love not your life. But we do love our life. You see it everywhere you look, putting on masks and taking vaccines because we love our lives. Now, I'm not talking about being foolish or risky or doing stupid stuff. I'm not talking about getting drunk in a car and driving down the road and not buckling your seatbelt. That'd be stupid. I'm not talking about that. But to think that, do you know this new variant, this Delta variant? Do you know it is less deadly than COVID? It's less deadly. I mean, it's just the flu. It's just the flu. But friends, a lot of people are going to die. A lot of people are going to die. Oh, man, I've wasted 20 minutes. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. I'm trying to encourage my wife. I'm trying to encourage everybody. We are, folks, we're in a friggin' war. The bombs are going off all around us. It's unbelievable. What a time to be alive. This is not the time to cower. This will be our finest hour. Now, I got to say this real quickly. Larry, I'll get you in here, Mark. Now, you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I don't care. I'm just telling you the truth. And I still can't get a feel for it. Last night, I'm laying in bed. And I heard, I'm not making any of this up, I heard a rumble start, thunder. I heard thunder start, rumble. Woke me up. I thought army tanks were coming down our road. So what is that? What is that? I thought maybe some type of intergalactical rock had broken through that. This was so loud, this thunder. I thought there was going to be an explosion. I was looking for something to come through the atmosphere. And then it rolled over and it was gone. And I sat straight up and I looked at the clock. It was 3:33.
Wow.
Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Come on in, Larry.
Thank you, Coach. You know, you're exactly right. We are winning. The problem is so many of us have a misunderstanding of what winning looks like. Some people think winning means keeping them from forcing vaccinations on us. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, where it talks about the mark of the beast, and unless you get the mark, you can't buy and sell and stuff. It doesn't say how that mark is going to be put on people, what technique they're going to use, what reason they're going to give for people to take that mark. It could be the vaccination, could be the mark, because that could be what, you know, what they use to keep people from buying and selling stuff. But the point is this, we're not going to keep the mark from being reality, whether it's the vaccination or something else. There is something that is going to keep people from being able to buy and sell, yes, unless they bow down to the devil. So victory is not keeping the vaccination out. Victory is the culmination of God's will for his people on earth. And that culmination is revealed in two basic places. One is John chapter 17, when Jesus prays for what he wants. He wants unity in his. And it's also revealed in Revelation, where it talks about there's an end to the number of martyrs. There's a time when the number of people that give themselves for the cause of Christ, there's a time when that number of people have been fulfilled. And that's when God's plan is culminated. God's plan, he would like for everybody on the face of the earth to come into his family. But his plan is when his family is full, it's over, baby. So our mission now is to use whatever avenues the Lord gives us, a fight against the vaccination. Use that fight against the vaccination as a door opener to go find that other person the Holy Spirit's leading us to bring into God's family. That's the victory.
Larry, I was well said, Larry. I came across somebody the other day who's beginning to awaken, and I run into a lot of them, right? But I said to my wife, I said, he is awakened, but he doesn't have the Holy Spirit yet. So, folks, listen to me. Don't miss this. Truth is coming to people who have not received the Holy Spirit yet, and they don't know what to do with it. They look at it. They know something. They get it. They get it. The Holy Spirit's knocking at the door, but they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, so they can't make sense of all of it. That's what's going on. It's going on everywhere. And when people begin to see brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and parents drop over from the sickness, many are going to run to the cross. Many are going to, which as Larry was pointing out, that is the ultimate thing, right? The expanse of the kingdom of God, not making America great again, not having more money, not getting the economy back on, expanse of the kingdom of God. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I want to encourage you, Coach, because you mentioned whether or not the calling is biblical, whether or not it is. Well, we're in the middle of a division, and it's been this way over and over and over. Who divided Noah's generations? Who divided Lot from his wife? Who sent the division each time? Who is part of the division intently? God.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's will that we're divided. So, unfortunately, it's our family sometimes. So who's dividing? You could say it's the devil, or you could say God's will is being done to sort out the flock. You know, how's it getting divided? How? How is God dividing us? He's using the world, which we love. So he just gives us what we want or enables us to get what we want either way. And we take it and we don't choose him. Isn't that what happened in Sodom? Isn't that what happened before the times of Noah? So we're right in the middle of the division. And then you run it out to who wins, who won during the times of Noah, who won during the times of Lot. Each time God divides, and who wins? Yes, we're winning. I want to encourage everyone that this division is of God. It hurts whenever our families are divided, our friends.
Amen.
Yeah, but if we look at it from God's perspective, he wants us with him. So why not pour on the evil and let people who are evil go get some?
Amen. 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 Well, I don't know how I don't know how I got in this vein this morning other than I did. Somebody, who's that? Is that
Coach? Yeah. Is Bernie. Listen, the question is, you're saying waking up. The question is, who are you going to call on? Are you going to call on man? Or are you going to call on God? Call on God. It's Jeremiah 33:3. That's it. 3:3:3. Call upon me.
That was that thunderclap last night, Bernie. 3:33.
Yeah, call upon me. Right.
Call upon,
Jeremiah 33:3.
All right. We're so over the target, man. So over. Craig, come on in, then Jerry. Then we'll move on to something.
Well, Coach, that's always been something that when you say, you know, hey, we're winning, to me, I always thought, well, what does that mean? I mean, what does it look like? You know, it's an ambiguous word to a certain degree. And I like the word, and I put it in the chat, and you even brought it up, prevail. Because prevailing leads to overcoming. And, you know, probably when you had when you were a coach, you looked at, oh, we got these 10 teams, right? And you probably looked and said, well, man, these are two or three that we're really going to battle. You came to this one team, and they just were just on fire. And they probably took out maybe your best strong safety or this and that for the season. So you had to prevail through that game to win it. But you lost a lot because you lost your star player. And then somebody else had to come back in and say, okay, hey, you're up now, you know. So you failed to fight another day. And you overcame because you made it to the playoffs and then you won your title. And then Revelation 4 says, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords,
Amen.
And King of kings. Those who are with him, that's us, are called chosen and faithful.
And we're going to win. We're winning right now. Thanks, Craig. Come on now, Jerry.
These are nuggets, Coach. Nuggets. I don't know if anybody's ever panned for gold before, but like Michelle said in the chat, this is the great shaking, and these nuggets are falling out.
They are falling out. They are. Jeremiah 33:3, man, that's that number, isn't it? That's what I've seen now. What, four times, five times? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm telling you, we are moving into the age of the miraculous. We're not going to. All right, there's miracles going on all around me. I'm just telling you, it's going on all around me. And it hasn't manifested yet. A lot of you don't see it. A lot of you don't know what I know. I don't know what you know. I'm telling you, God is absolutely on the move. I got a couple things I gotta cover real quick if I can. Patriot Jam, I gotta forget to say this. This Friday night, for those of you that are in Ohio, Brett's really working hard on first annual Patriot Jam. Brett, can you just explain this in a minute, what's going on here with Patriot Jam?
Absolutely, Coach. This has been on my heart for a long time. We're down in Pickaway County, just south of Columbus. For God, Country, and Sports, we put together an opportunity to have great music. Doors open at 2, 3 to 9, we'll have live music. And in between such hangs, we're going to have some amazing speakers. Coach Dave is so gracious to share his time. It's not like he's not busy at all, going coast to coast, border to border for the Lord. But it'll be amazing. We have carload pricing. It's $60 for a pack as many people as you can in a car, a truck, or a van. I put Coach's link in the chat. And the general, Coach, General Jim Camp of the Ohio Air National Guard contacted me. We're working with the USO. They got three divisions. I said, bring them on, baby, and get as many of those families out there. Love on them.
Hey, man, this is a great concept, Brett, because it's a pushback against all the stuff they've been telling us to do, the social distance and don't gather together and all that stuff. This is and this is a great opportunity to do that.
Well, so, folks, Coach, we may have bikers here. We may have everybody. I want it to be open. How are we going to share the gospel of Jesus if they don't come? It's an outdoor church meeting with music.
Man, it's going to be good. First annual one, Brett. First annual one. So we look forward to that. Bless you, man. Let us, hey, folks, if you can make it, make it, make it. It's also a fundraiser. So whatever organization you're working with, they get half of their proceeds. $60, bring 10 people with you. $6 a head, you get in there. Food, fun, fellowship, and opportunity to try to encourage people to stand up and fight. Bless you, Brett.
And Coach, you're absolutely right, because this is the model. It's the first one. And this is a divine appointment. Thank you, Liberty Mel. Thank you, everybody who's helped out. Cook's Creek is an amazing partner. We're on the driving range. It's going to be amazing.
It's the first of many. Betty Perkins this weekend, right, Betty? No, not this weekend. Get me going. Straighten me out here, Betty. This
weekend. It's August 14th. It is Saturday. Saturday.
Come on, folks. Get down there at St. Clairsville and support Betty. She drives all across the stinking world to stand up and push back. And we owe it to Betty to show up. What time does it start, Betty?
Starts at 10, and it's very easy to find. And if you want, I can put the address back in the chat.
You go ahead and do that, Betty. I think that would be good. I hope to see a lot of you there. We're going to be there for sure. Look forward to that. Bobby Lee, I haven't even spoken to Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee, Chad made it home. I mean, the trip those guys have been on. But Bobby Lee stopped last night yesterday in outside of Chicago and picked up a huge table that Diana, you know who you are, who's given to for Sky High, big 8-foot-long table and chairs. Bobby stopped and picked all that up, and he rolled in here last night about, and it was after midnight when Bobby rolled in. So he's sleeping up there, and I just appreciate all those people out there that are helping us and doing everything. Tammy Evans is having surgery today. Please keep Tammy in prayer. Regard her, you know, she fell, broke her leg, you know, that whole story. And she is having surgery today. So just pray that the surgeons guide that and everything goes good there. And then tomorrow is going to, I had lunch yesterday with Pastor Todd and Jeff. Some of you know who they are. Some of it doesn't matter what you don't. And Jeff really laid something on me that I thought was really, really profound. And it's, we're going to start it tomorrow. And it's going to be 26 consecutive days of personal communion. So when you come in tomorrow, who came up with the idea that we only take communion once a week or once a month or whatever? The idea that the breaking of God's bread, his body, and drinking of his blood, there's strength in it. There's strength in that. And so Todd and Jeff are going to come on. Todd's going to give a little teaching on that, and Jeff's going to talk about the vision that he has to do it and the importance of you right where you, not every day in here, you personally, you, whether it be with your spouse, whether it be with your dog, you personally are going to sit down and you're going to take communion yourself every day for the next 26 days. We're going to kick that off tomorrow, and we're going to kick it off together tomorrow, and we're going to end it up together in 26 days. But we think it's significant. So bring a little wafer or anything that you can munch on tomorrow. Even drink a water, doesn't matter. Bring something with you. Remember, there's power in you. Hey, Mark Trump, that's that daggone power thing again, isn't there? There's power in unity. Power in unity. And we all push towards the same direction. Talked about that. Okay, listen. This is a great story. Jack McCarthy, the wild and crazy Jack McCarthy, was pulled over yesterday in his hometown by a friend who's a police officer, because Jack doesn't have a driver's license. Jack is what they refer to as a sovereign citizen. That's what they call Jack. I don't think Jack calls himself that, but that's what they call him. Jack, tell us that story real briefly of what the heck happened. Folks, I think these kind of things are just forerunners or warnings of exactly what's going to happen. Now, Jack lives in a very, very small town. So we're not talking about Jack driving in some city of 50,000 people, some cop pulls him. No, no, no. Everybody knows everybody where Jack McCarthy lives. Tell us what happened to you, Jack. Ah! Well, he didn't leave it on. He'll be back in here. Keep your eye open for him as he comes rolling back in here. It's an amazing story. Boy, Jack, I gave you a big opening. Okay, let's do this then, Spencer, real quickly. Go to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. It's a real.
Sorry, Coach.
Oh, Jack is back. Jack is back. Okay, Jack. That's all right. I set you up good here, brother. Tell us what happened to you, Jack.
Okay. I was going into town, into Presque Isle, and as I was turning onto the main drag, a police officer was going the other direction.
How big is the town, Jack? How many people in Presque Isle, Maine?
Presque Isle's got probably 6,000 people.
Okay.
So he whipped around and came right up behind me, which is not necessarily a big deal. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. I was obviously watching, but I mean, he got a call and he's going to go back the other direction. Okay, so whatever. And so I kept him up the road and went through two lights, and he's still there. So I decided I'd pull into a parking lot and pulled in and went about my business, pulled into a spot like I was going to get out and go into a store. And I flipped off my seatbelt and opened the door, and he was standing right there. Well, that made my heart pound a little bit. And then I looked up and saw that it was somebody that I knew. His daughter and my daughter participate together in Special Olympics. So I said, hi Bill, how you doing? How you doing? Okay. And I went to get out, and he wouldn't shake my hand. I thought, uh-oh, this ain't good. Anyway, long story short, it was really unsettling because I hadn't done anything that would prompt anyone, any police officer, to pull me over. The car was registered, the stickers, lights, I didn't make a bad turn, I didn't go through a light, I wasn't speeding, I was being very, very cautious. And I said, you know, what's up here? Well, why are we really doing this? Because you don't have a license. And I said, yeah. So it's not any new revelation to you.
Jack, he knew you didn't have a license, Jack, right? He knew you didn't have one.
He knew it, yes. And he could not have run my plate and got any information in the short amount of time, because it wasn't like he was following me for 2 hours. He saw me and flipped around, and so there's something going on here. So I don't know exactly what it is. It's a little unsettling. Because he immediately had, within 90 seconds of this beginning of this conversation, there were two other police cars, and then there were two totally unmarked pickup trucks sitting there all facing me. Now that's the scenario for this, the response to a sovereign citizen domestic terrorist. So sovereign citizen is an oxymoron. I'm very careful not to put those two together. Yes, I am sovereign, but the sovereign citizen, as you so well articulated, Coach, words have meaning and change the language, change the meaning of the words, change the culture. And so he gave me a ticket. I was pretty stunned. Why? I said, you know, you don't need to do this. Why are you doing this? Because I know. And so he asked me if I was carrying, and I said, well, of course. And he said, where is it? And I pointed to my bag in the car, and so I said, well, I'll get it. He said, you think I'm going to let you reach for a firearm in your car? I said, yeah.
Jack, this is a friend of yours, Jack, right?
Yeah. Well, we're acquaintances. Attended church together at different times, and his daughter and my daughter are both part of, they're both handicapped, both have Down syndrome. this guy. I met this guy the day that I walked in around the corner, and he was in the store where I consult. And my daughter was, I think, 9, and she was sitting on the counter. And here's this old guy, my age, signing with my daughter. So I came around the corner real quick to see what this was. Turns out he's from the county, and we're 180 miles away, and he's saying, well, I thought I knew all the kids with Down syndrome in Aroostook County. He said, I don't know this one. I said, well, you do now. How you know him? We met and we talked, and we've attended church together and attended events together. And I a couple of years ago in Fort Fairfield, where he was a police officer there. So I'm a little nervous about this because he's a former state police, and then he's a town cop at Fort Fairfield, and then he's a town cop in Prescott. So I don't know. Maybe he's one of them that's going to stir up some problems. I don't know. But it ended okay. There was no big conflict, but there was no reason, no probable cause for him to pull me over other than he saw my face and decided that he was
going to. And Jack, not only that, he pulled you over and immediately sent out an alert for backup, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was two other police cars and two very unmarked pickup trucks that they stayed when the police left. They stayed for a little while, and I took pictures of them to see if I was going to get back in my car and drive, because then they would have arrested me.
I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that you oppose the governor or support Mike Heath, who's running for governor, against Paul LePage, the old governor, and whether you're a vocal guy and whether you had a radio show down there was constantly speaking. I wonder if it had anything to do with any of that, Jack.
It had to. Now, see, Paul LePage, as governor, could have stopped this. We presented many years ago, we presented him with a copy of the Sovereign Citizen course for the Maine Police Academy. He and his lawyer had never seen it. They didn't know anything about it. They essentially accused us of having gotten this off of some stupid website like Steve Quayle.
Okay, but let me intervene here, Jack, because here's folks, this is what it comes down to, right? This cop knows, oh, that's Jack. That's Jack. He's a sovereign citizen loon. That's Jack. Why would they pull him over? That's Jack.
Let me throw something out. I believe, Jack, you were targeted. That cop may or may not have had any chance to say anything about it. Probably came down from above. The trucks were there in case you ran. The trucks were there to run you off the road. They used trucks instead of their cars.
Wow.
Okay, that's my thoughts on that. Now, Joseph might be able to corroborate, but with some protocol. Now, you should be able to ask about probable cause now. You should do a Freedom of Information or some sort of query and find out what the probable cause was. Okay? Well, if they can't give you an answer, I don't know what. You should be able to have some more questions around that, though.
Oh yeah, we will go there. If I end up in court, I will go for a jury trial, and we're going to do this all again. What a pain in the butt!
But Jack, wait a minute. Your trial date is when, Jack?
December.
December. You got a trial date in December. Now, Jack, can you drive?
Excuse me?
Can you drive?
I operate my automobile, my private not-for-profit automobile.
Are they going to pull you over when you come back into town, Jack?
Yes.
Wow. By the way, folks, you don't have to have a driver's license. That's a whole different show. Let's get some guys in there. Sam, come on in, then Randy, then Reggie. Go ahead, Sam. How you doing there, gunslinger?
Hey, good morning, everybody. You know, there's a lot of asking right now, what do we do? There's a lot of talk about booting up. I had a dream last night. This is going to be the 60-second version. It went on for hours. And in this dream, the doo-doo hit the fan. And each person, this was a military-looking outfit. Each person had a place on the parade deck. They were issued a backpack, and it had in it a new pair of combat boots. It was their size. It had a loaf of bread, sliced bread, and it had a jar of peanut butter, amongst all kinds of other things. And, you know, everybody expects that something complicated is going to be asked of them. Call your congressman, this and that. In this dream, this is what each person was commanded: to find a spot on the parade deck, to take out 12 slices of bread, and to make 6 peanut butter sandwiches and start eating them, and to lace up those combat boots that had never been worn and to get them on, and to eat those sandwiches. So this is something that they could have been ready in a few minutes, or it could have taken all day. And of course, the goal is to take people that had never been part of a formation and get them ready to have their boots on, have their rations ready, and to put that backpack on and to walk away and to help somebody else if they couldn't get those boots laced. So it seemed like a very, very simple thing, but it just pressed every person's emotional buttons. Men and women were there. And I would just encourage everybody to hear the word of the Lord and to boot up right now, to be ready to be part of a team.
Wow.
To get those boots on and to start the emotional process of dealing with simple food, which is what soldiers do. Well, that's what I saw in the night.
Sam. So, Sam, how about this? This is from Stephanie. You guys know Stephanie. She just texted me and she said this. Randy, listen to this. She says, angels were sounding the big war drums last night, Coach. Vibrations of thunder that you feel through you like that, change your vibration by shaking off negative Klingons and attached things. And considering it happened at 3:33, I would say you just got tuned up like a string, which is the same thing that you're saying, Sam, right? It's the exact same. The Lord is preparing his soldiers. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, this is so connected. Jack's story. So what Sam saw, what Stephanie just said, what I was getting ready to say earlier, I took my hand down. I said, well, I'll wait till another time, Lord. Coach, the Holy Spirit is tapping us into his plan. He is showing, okay, Coach, one day I went to the abortion clinic for a year or two, and one Saturday morning, I'm the first one there, it's dark, and I go up there and I spit on the sidewalk, Coach, and I just, God set me up he just set it up. And from that point on, I've never looked back, Coach. He's taken me into a journey to just stand, be strong. He has set Jack up for something that he's getting ready to do.
Yeah, sir.
It's so clear, Coach.
And all
I'm saying is, and here you are, you see the number 333. God is speaking. The Holy Spirit's trying to confirm to you what he's doing. He is coming out of a box where we've placed him for so many years. Oh, I can't hear God unless I read the Bible. I can't hear God unless I pray. No, he can speak to you through prayer, through visions, dreams, any way he wants to, Coach.
And
he's bringing us into this, and we got to see it that we are participating with him every time we will listen and be obedient. This is.
Amen, Randy. I'm with you, man. It's all over me. I can tell you that. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. Thank you. Just two things. Randy's correct. Going back with Jack and what Stephanie said, I was thinking all these things, and you guys are talking about it. And so we can't miss this opportunity with Jack. I don't think he realizes the major opportunity we all have to join together to support him. What that officer did was violated his rights as a sovereign, first and foremost, but as a citizen of America, because when I was a police officer and we pulled sovereigns over, there wasn't anything we could do. But he had no probable cause. All Jack has to do is file against him, and we all have to go support him to show that we are awake and we know.
Yeah, I want to come to Maine anyway, Jack. Let's get that up and running there, buddy. Huh?
They're pushing back, and we have to push back.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Then the other thing I wanted to say was the 333. Stephanie's correct in a sense what I had texted you roundabout. I didn't go into it all. But you are being called. You are being called up because that's what happened to me for those 5 straight years of 333.
It was one of the most amazing things of my life. I thought the eastern sky was splitting. I expected a huge boom in my house to blow away or something. It is amazing. Thanks, Reggie.
Hey, Mike, hey, Coach.
Yeah, Mike, come in.
Yeah, we've already got the date scheduled, and literally 1 mile from my house is the headquarters of the state police. Jack did not get a chance to go into detail about LePage, but when you're here with us for that three-day huddle, and everybody should make plans to come to Maine, October, I don't know what the dates are, 15, 16, somewhere in there. It's on the calendar at Coach Dave Live, but we're going to put Jack right at the heart of this thing, and we're going to carry it right into the belly of the beast in the Maine capital with you as our general. God bless you, Coach.
Boom, 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 boom.
And Susan lives right next to the Maine Police Academy. We're going to be right near the Maine Police Academy and the State Police, and that's where our huddle's going
to
be.
Amen. We're looking forward to that.
October 15th through 17th.
October 5th. Come on up in Maine. It's a beautiful place. Just come up for that vacation. That'll be worth it, I'm telling you.
I'm not looking forward to that, believe me. That does not sound like fun.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. I've been that target for too long, and you know what? It really stinks. But we got to do it. Got to do it. And we got to do it.
Well, somebody said, let me see, who was it? It was Jack McCarthy who said, it's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what's required. That's well said, right? Sometimes it's, I did my best. No. You got to finish it. You got to do what's required. Come on in, Joe, and then Jerry.
I was just going to say, this is going to be the main event starring Jack the Giant Killer.
Amen. We need to do it. Hey, we need to do it where Sonny Liston got knocked out by Cassius Clay. What's the name of that town? Where? Come on, Jack.
Lewiston.
Where somewhere Muhammad Ali did that phantom punch that knocked out Sonny Liston. Lewiston, Maine. That's where we need to do it. That'd be a good. Jack says, "Oh no, don't do it there." Come on in, Jerry.
Hey, Coach, you're talking to a sovereign citizen right now. I got my identification back from the Vatican when I was 12. And I have had no ID ever since. It has been sort of free, very freeing. But at the same time, they do try and lock you out of everything. Yeah. I just want to give a tip for people that are getting pulled over. When they ask you or they give you your rights and then they say, do you understand these rights? Do not say yes. Because in legalese, when you're saying, I understand those rights, you're saying you're understanding that law. You're standing.
You're in agreement with it. That's right.
Yeah. So as long as you don't agree with it, they kind of have to release you later because you don't understand what's going on.
Amen. Amen. Good one, Jerry. Dale, come on in. By the way, friends, the video yesterday with Dr. Sherry Timpenny and Brett Bull on BitChute. 52,000 views. 52,000. Sherry Timpenny said it's over on all the other platforms. It's over 500,000 already. People have watched this. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, two things. The first one's real quick, Coach. You got to cross the line. You got to cross the line of obedience. We have to stand in the face of this wickedness. Yes. The second thing is there was a church down here locally 2 weeks ago that opened up their doors to have the vaccinations or the shots brought in and done at their church. Well, I confronted that pastor. Now, here's the deal, brother. This is where we have to be approachable, you know, gentle in our words, because he did not know. He knew that the Johnson & Johnson shot had the fetal cell in it. But when I informed him that two of the other lines were tested with that same fetal line, brother, let me tell you what, he was livid. Because he did not know that those lines were used in the testing. So, brother, sometimes we have to take them as ignorance. People are just watching what's on TV. So, yes. Brother, I'm waiting to see. Listen, this is not a small church. This is a huge church that has satellite churches all throughout the area, but I know this guy personally.
So, friends, listen, I want to encourage you, okay? Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is drawing the unsaved. The Holy Spirit is drawing the unsaved through truth. Because remember we spoke yesterday about what Mark Trump calls your first truth? And you think about the first truth that we had, right? The first truth we had was you got to put on the mask, you got to social distance, you can't go. Remember those? And so that first truth was embedded in all of us. And the process that we're in now is somehow trying to reverse that first truth. But people are beginning to wake up and see what's going on. And it is the drawing and the unction of the Holy Spirit, but they don't recognize it as the Holy Spirit because they ain't got the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? But I'm going to tell you something. He is going to reveal himself to them through just everyday things that are going on. And they are going to, whether it be at night when they're laying on their head on their pillow and a thunderbolt comes through, whatever, the Holy Spirit's going to get through them. We are on the verge of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that America has ever seen. Folks, trust me with this. The greatest now, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be a lot of suffering, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of stuff that's come, it ain't going to look good. There's going to be millions of people going to die. Millions of people are going to die. They are. Go ahead, Jack.
I just want everybody to think about this concept of first information, this first thought, first knowledge. We have to logically and carefully re-examine all the things that we think we know. I'm not talking about just throwing it out and being stupid, but we gotta critically think about the things that we take as gospel.
Yep.
And rethink them. The first truth. Why do you think they're putting kids in preschool for preschool? Why do you think that is? Because they're indoctrinating them before they have. It's all that first information. That first information. You think you have to have a driver's license. You think you have to have a social security number. You think you have to have. You think because you've always been taught this. Yep. Rethink. Do a little research. Rethink and question the words. The words have meaning. Huge meaning.
Yep. Amen, Jack. Come on in, Mark, and then Randy was trying to get in. And Larry, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to mention briefly, first truth, there's two things to unlearn. There's two ways to unlearn, and we all got to be careful of this. You can unlearn a first truth through a truth or a lie. So what does the enemy do? They give you another lie. Oh, yeah, that's right. That wasn't true. This is true. And then they give you a lie. And people will flock to a lie quicker than a truth. Why is that, Coach?
Amen. Amen. Hey, by the way, real quickly, we're starting that communion on Friday the 13th. On Friday. I was thinking today's Thursday. On Friday the 13th. How about that? We're going to counter the wickedness on Friday the 13th. So start the communion thing. Randy, did you want in? No, Larry, come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you said it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to look good. You know, I would encourage everyone who can hear me now or hear me later when you do the podcast or something, please, please stop trying to pray for and ask things that you want. Start learning to trust God and His will, because that way when things turn ugly and everything like that, when you're convinced that you pray for God's will, He answers prayer. So what's happening is His will. When you learn to live like that, it takes the pressure off of you and it gives you a peace to walk through that ugliness.
Amen. Coach, listen, Friday the 13th, okay? It's Matthew 26:26 for 26 days. It's the 26:26:26 communion challenge. Friday, we're kicking it off. Come on in, Luann.
Yes, I've had dreams for a long time about this war. And the other day I had the same one again. My son-in-law, we were supposed to have some kind of picnic. And I remember in the dream directly telling him that we'll put on their suits till we get back to the checkpoint. And then we'll change back into ours and leave. And then there was another one where there was a bed and breakfast. Everybody knew what was going on in the country. You seen people, paratroopers coming out of the sky. We were up in this attic and looking through a little crack in it. And you could see people screwed out. all over the country, and you can see them shooting everybody in sight.
Hey, listen, okay, I gotta run, Luann. Listen, be of good cheer.
Yes.
I have overcome the world.
Yes.
This will be our finest hour.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.